there's no question we learned everything about how to save a business and then build a business from that last severe downturn. It taught us everything, you know, that and certainly prepared us very well for this downturn.
Welcome to Alter Now, a series of podcasts on commercial real estate. I'm your host, Tom Silva. Today, our guest is Larry Armstrong, president of Ware Malcolm, an internationally renowned architecture firm with projects throughout the United States, Mexico, Canada, and China. In 2008, Larry was awarded the prestigious Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. Larry, I want to open by asking you about 1992. That was the year you bought Ware Malcolm. And at the time, the company had substantial debt, and also the economy was in a really dire recession. Give me a sense of what you learned from that experience.
There's no question we learned everything about how to save a business and then build a business from that last severe downturn, which was the early 90s. Buying a firm while you're going through a recession is a pretty tall order. But it taught us everything, you know, that and certainly prepared us very well for this downturn. We were ready for it. We had written a recession plan a couple of years ago, and so when the time came, we knew what we were going to do, and I think that really helped us.
Now, a recession plan. Give me a sense of what that is, and what prompted you to create that.
Doing over the years with growth plans and strategic plans and marketing plans and all those sorts of things, and we've gotten really good at that. But when you try to go the other way, it's just as important to be able to shrink methodically. It may be even more important to be able to do that methodically than as you're growing. You have to look at what revenue can support what level of staff and all the additional expenses and costs, which over time become discretionary, and you got to look at all those and decide what's necessary and what isn't. And
so after you executed that recession plan, you then doubled the size of your company in 5 years. Give us a sense of how you did that.
In a continuous way, ever since the last major downturn, which was early 90s, we've our bread and butter has always been industrial and office-oriented developer work. And we have certainly added, since that time, an interiors component to our firm, represents almost 30% of our business now, as well as a technology-driven and manufacturing-driven type of clients and projects. Many, many corporate accounts where we, do ongoing work for U.S. corporations. Our healthcare practice, so that's been a really important one, especially right now. So we do a lot of medical-oriented work. And then in terms of our geographic locations, from the beginning of our firm, which was in the 70s up until the early 90s, we were primarily a California firm. And so now we've expanded throughout California and then across the United States. So we have, at this point, 10 offices across the United States and also Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And in addition to that, we are doing work internationally. So we have work currently in Asia, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East.
So you doubled the size of the business, and then we hit a historic recession. Give me a sense of how this recession compares with the recession of 92.
Actually, for us, at least so far, knock on wood, the last one was worse. But I think that most people you talk to say this one's worse. And I think for us, just based on the life of a company, Southern California was hit pretty hard, and we were only in Southern California in 92, 93. Southern California took the brunt of a lot of different factors, that being an economic recession, but also the giant shrinkage of the defense industry, which was, you know, had a lot of centers here. So, you know, being national now, although the downturn is widespread, we're a stronger company and more diverse. So we think we're weathering it actually better than the last time, even though it may be arguably a worse downturn.
So what we seem to be hearing a lot about, of course, in commercial real estate is the credit crunch and the challenges of underwriting a new project. When we talked offline, you mentioned that there wasn't a great deal of speculative construction, but give me a sense of what you're seeing as far as, say, corporate-sponsored construction or those projects that are getting financed.
In the event that there is a credit tenant and it's a build-to-suit or corporate project, you know, every cost is scrutinized. And so I think from, you know, the architect's standpoint, we just have to be diligent in creating attractive but very functional architecture that is conservative in nature and responds to the general feeling of a thrift in the environment, in the credit market and the corporate environment.
Do you think that thrift is a cultural shift, or is that just a response to the recession, which is more short term?
No, very few of, you know, the corporate users want to be seen as being extravagant, no matter who they are. They want to, you know, be seen as, and in fact have corporate dictates to create functional, economical space, and so that does not allow for ego-driven icon architecture in this environment.
Larry, part of your practice, of course, is in green buildings and sustainable design, and so I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the entire green movement. It started back in the 70s, and at that time, I think our understanding of the impact and the environmental footprint of buildings was far less than it is today. As we know, buildings consume about 40% of the energy overall, as well as put out about 21% of greenhouse gas emissions. Give me a sense, just historically, how you think the movement has evolved and where you think it's headed.
Yeah, it's a very interesting evolution of the thought process and the emotion, I think, behind the green movement.